The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we have to understand the plight of NFL players, or do they have to understand us?
And Cleveland, one of the most affordable places to live? Can we really back that up?
Forget the cost of living. How about the cost of steak?
On the next Suburgy Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies.
On 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
Hello, we're brought to you by Extend Technologies.
Hello, Kenny.
I get my truck back today.
Finally.
After I backed it into a fire hydrant.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yep. Talked about that on the air. It was fun. Great times. When you back into a fire hydrant, there's just so many people that have questions about it. My father.
How drunk you were?
No. I was stone sober. My father came over the weekend. He was shocked that I had done it. I was telling my father-in-law about it. My father-in-law, boy, he just sold his truck. His truck's been sold now. He got $5,000 over. $5,000 over.
Yeah,
not going to tell you how, but he got $5,000 over.
I keep seeing that.
I think there's a company because he goes, it's crazy. He sold his for $3,500, right? $30,500. He said the closest ones that are being offered locally. He had 26,000 miles on it. He barely drove it. I think it's a 19, I want to say. He's going to get something smaller. They're in the downsizing portion of their life. My mother-in-law just celebrated her 70th birthday. And he had said that he couldn't find anything local on the lot for 25. The same year truck for higher than 25. So he thinks, and I think, that there is this company that's buying that truck and is shipping it somewhere else where it can cover the cost. Like, I imagine trucks are more expensive in California and Texas and probably Florida even right now.
They're way more.
And just
had a family member that totaled her car, totally her fault.
I think we can narrow that one down, can't we?
It's fun to get that call. But she totaled it. No, this is not. It's not my sister.
Oh, never mind.
On the other side of things,
you have two family members.
I have another family now.
Wow,
I have a new family that I inherited.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's fun.
So she totaled it. She's totally distracted. I don't know. And the money they gave her for this crap car that had all these miles on it, I was like, oh my god. They in other states. And hers is California.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, get that. Get the money. Let's come home. Let's go home. Let's start getting things figured out back here.
It's time to come home.
You just got way too much money for this, and everything's so expensive out there to begin with.
It's
time to reboot your life.
I'm glad.
A soft reset.
I wanted to get into a big thing about Ohio, and what did you just do?
But it is interesting, like you said, that stuff is just so much more valuable. Are you getting so much more?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, did you see the story? What bank was it or something that said? Bank of America. The people are moving to Cleveland is the biggest growth area.
Really? I always see
They're number four for relocation, according to the Bank of America survey.
So I'm very interested. I see if maybe Mitch or someone can pull it up on their methodology there. Because I've been hearing my entire life, basically. And I think the same thing in Detroit, if you live there, or in Pittsburgh. Come back over here. It's so much better because of what? Good schools.
Yeah.
And cost of living. But no jobs. That's what we kind of overlook. You got to have the jobs.
That's my problem.
If you can work from anywhere in the country,
like,
okay, but there are a lot of places you can't.
So should I be critical of DeWine over this? I'm asking. Because Columbus has plenty of jobs, do they not? Don't they have plenty of jobs?
Well, it depends if they repeal the CHIPS Act, which this administration says they will be.
Yeah, well,
get into it.
Well,
but yes, I mean, Columbus does.
So they have plenty of jobs.
Yes.
All right. Are they the only place in Ohio that can have jobs? Because it's like, hey, man, I know it gets very cold here at times, but it's cold for like, it's really cold, like bitterly cold, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I agree. Out of 52, that's not bad. Now, I know the weather's not that great, but we don't have that many natural disasters here. Schools, got good schools around there. And the price of living is great.
Yep.
We just need the damn jobs. The desirable jobs that people want to move here for.
By the way, the price of living thing.
Cost of living, whatever.
I'm starting to kind of even roll my eyes at that. Yes.
Really?
It's way cheaper to live here than in L.A. and New York and D.C. and even Miami now has gone up ridiculously. Seattle. Okay. That we understand. But I look at what the apartments are, all the new apartments that get built in Tremont, Ohio City, or downtown, and across the board, some of those prices are, square footage still more in other places, but you are still paying prices that like you paid in Chicago. And then I go to the nice restaurants in Cleveland, not anymore, but when I'm able to, once in a while, I go into these nice restaurants and I look at the prices. And they're restaurants that I think are good restaurants. My God, the prices are the same as they are in Chicago.
No.
They are.
No.
I could point to you. I could pull up, and I'm unfortunately.
Don't name names.
Part of the problem is I know some of the people that work at these restaurants.
Right. And they listen to the podcast.
And they listen, and you know, they'll give me a free drink when I come in.
Send
so, you know.
Me a link to their.
I was looking up a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and I said, this is insanity. And I know the prices have gone up everywhere on everything, and it's part of the reason we just had a landmark election. Okay, I get that. But at these restaurants, if you're already paying to live in Cleveland, Ohio, over $2,000 a month for rent, okay, and some of the nicer places, it's like three, okay? Some of the places in Cleveland.
For rent?
For rent, okay? And then you go to a restaurant, and the entrees are all in the upper 30s and 40s. Yeah. And a glass of wine is $15, okay? And well, one of their signature cocktails are $16.
Yeah.
Okay, that is not Cleveland. So we hype up our cost of living, but if you want to do the really nice things in Cleveland, kinda is costing the same amount of money that
Anthony,
it is in big cities.
Anthony, tell me what you would expect for a dinner for you and your wife in Bay Village should cost you.
I would love to get out of there
a couple drinks, maybe even.
Yeah, I would love to get out of there below 80. It ain't happening.
Well, buddy, I told you where I went this weekend. Spent $135, and it was during happy hour.
And that is, by the way, that restaurant that you went to, we love. We take our kids there.
But it is not that end of the scale.
No, it's not. It's not upper tier.
No,
upper crust.
Man,
I wore this wrestling hoodie there.
Right.
I mean, that's,
and other people did too.
Yeah, and that's the same type of attire, right?
So when I hear cost of living, like, yes, I guess if you don't go to restaurants, although groceries are expensive, as we know.
Right.
But if you don't go.
Wait, who'd you vote for?
If you don't go to restaurants.
Doesn't sound like it.
You know, that's the beauty of this country. Kenny, as I looked at a lot of the election results, boy, do I listen to a lot of election podcasts.
Boy, you have
a lot of Fallout podcasts, by the way, over the last week.
Rightfully so.
And I think there's a lot of misinformation going on about a realignment of the politics, the parties in politics. I didn't see that at all. I looked at the way that this is another conversation entirely.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
But I looked at the way that some of the Senate races, how she underperformed all over the place compared to the down ballots, and I'm like, maybe they just didn't like her. They just didn't like her running the country because some of those people, a lot of those people, also voted for Democrat senates, Democratic congressmen, Democratic initiatives. So did we get a realignment or? Did they just say, we'd rather have Trump running our country than Kamala?
Interesting.
Which I think is very interesting for the midterms, which, of course, if you're a Democrat right now, you're already giving up for the midterms.
How much is...
because this didn't go so well.
How much is, like, a steak at Peter Luger?
Just the meat.
Just by the itself? Beef.
Yeah, I mean you're getting 70.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say 64.
So this is my issue here. Is I went down a rabbit hole, not proud to say it, because I was a little under the weather this weekend, right? So I had a little bit of downtime. I tried to put up some Christmas lights yesterday, and I got the boxes out, and I'm like, I'm beat. I'm like sucking wind. I'm like, man, I'm not feeling good. Yeah, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to...
Give the kids hold the base of the ladder?
No, they're gone. They were gone for the day. They had school, but I was off. I know. Amazing. So, which is great. The five-year-old neighbor came over because him and Jonah ride the bus together, and he goes, "You off again, Ken?" And I'm going,
oh, I love that.
Nice. Like, he looked at me like...
As if we don't have enough of our audience
questioning
when we're off.
That was amazing.
Proportions.
Everybody's counting our dates. Everybody's counting our vacation time.
So, I got the Christmas tree lights out. I got the Christmas lights out. I had to rearrange. Part of it is I had to rearrange the storage room in the basement because we have a one sectioned off room for like the utilities and stuff. And that was a pain in the ass because Liz, when she does decorations, she just leaves boxes everywhere. So, I'm the one who's got to rearrange it and stack them up and make it like, so you have space to move about, like in case the power goes out or something there. So I did that. I'm like, I'm exhausted. But I still got out, and I was able to hang a couple over the one awning of the front porch, and then the garland around the front porch. But that was about it, man. I was tired. But I went down a rabbit hole of so I won in my dynasty over Michigan 42-17.
Oh, big one.
And they play for the little brown jug. And I went down this rabbit hole on YouTube because Glenn
Fry.
No.
Youngkin.
Cook.
Glenn Mason won the Little Brown Jug. I listened to a podcast while working on show stuff.
He had Lawrence Maroney and who was the other running back? He had another really good running back. God, I can't remember. He had the two-headed monster.
I forget.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, now I'm trying to think about it. You're throwing me off.
Marion
Barber. Was it Marion Barber? I think it was Marion Barber. Okay. So, which are, I think, two Michigan or Minnesota Marion Barbers throughout history. So, I listened to a podcast on YouTube with John U. Bacon. It was 50 minutes talking about the Little Brown Jug.
Marion Barber.
Yeah. 50 minutes.
Cousins with Brutus.
Talking about the Little Brown Jug. Brutus Barber. And
the podcast.
I heard the story about how Glenn Mason won the Little Brown Jug. Or his team won the Little Brown Jug. And I should find the clip, or the 50 minutes podcast. And how the guy from Michigan, for whatever reason, he was an equipment manager for like 40 years, and is one of his many things he had to do was hold on to the Little Brown Jug since they had the Little Brown Jug for like 20 years straight. So he had to hold on to it. And Glenn Mason said, "I want to know where that jug is. We're going to win it this year." And they won it. And he got the jug. And he had it ride on the bus. No, they flew. He had it ride on the plane next to him. Took it off the plane. There's people in Minnesota, because they're in Minneapolis. There's people in Minneapolis. They're there to greet him. He's holding the jug. He took it to a restaurant, to a steakhouse. And then I looked up the prices of the steakhouse.
It's amazing.
$87 for a New York-style strip.
How many ounces?
It didn't say.
22?
I'd hope so. $87.
Wait, this is a current price?
Yes.
Okay.
I looked it up. And I'm
That's
going
a petite filet.
I would pay. There was some that were in their 60s, okay?
Yeah.
But like 80. Yep. My favorite cut, and this is controversial. A lot of people like a ribeye. I like a strip. I'm a strip guy. I would pay. I imagine paying $87 in New York City for a New York strip. I can't imagine.
They saw the strip there.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Strip, yeah. Yeah, true. That's true. I would pay $87 and maybe up for a strip steak in New York at Peter Luger's because you're in New York. Minneapolis, eight. That doesn't include sides. You can get potatoes for the table, which are like every side was under $20, and it was all, I think, for the table. But I'm going, what the hell?
Well, especially because I know you. When Ken goes out for a nice,
it's been a while,
evening, an extravagant evening, he's going to order the steak. He's going to order the fixins.
Yeah.
The fixins.
The spaghetti in the middle. But he's also going to have some nice cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's where they get you.
That's where they get you.
And so, yeah, you're already getting got on the steak and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, then you're spending how much for drinks? You go to an upscale steakhouse these days.
Man.
And you are doing it that way. You're doing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to get out of there per person less than $300.
Yeah.
Think of how absurd that is.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm willing to pay it. That bartender better be carrying a hammer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You understand me? I better taste the Jack Daniels.
Feel like those places, though, they know. We'll just take, for example, I'll leave prices out of it, but go to Red here in town. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched The Bear and how they take care to know exactly what you why you might be dining there, I had an experience at Red where they knew it was our anniversary.
Oh, really?
I did not tell them. They made sure that we enjoyed our anniversary.
Wait, they just knew? Good. They found
they
out?
They just knew. My wife might have tagged them in an Instagram
that's
post
good.
Or something.
And well, they're paying attention to that stuff.
That's good. I'm glad they did. Because, I mean, like, if I'm going, like, last time I went out.
And that was, like, we spent a good amount of money. In fact, I think you guys might have given me a gift card to there or something, and I used part of that.
Hopefully it made a dent.
It did not. but I had a great time. We used it, and I did use that to offset the tip, you know. I obviously, that's where the tip was in that. Yeah. But, like, it was one of those things where they paid attention to that stuff. And then when it came down to the little cheesecake, right? The little piece of cheesecake that they give you at the end to celebrate your anniversary. They were like, that's on the house. And I'm like, hell yeah, we got them. We got them for the cheesecake.
Yeah, we did.
$7 piece of
cheesecake. Yeah, you feel like you won. I feel like you won.
By the way, Owen, you just uncovered an awesome FML.
What?
Because, and we won't have to go into great detail about it because then we'll use it up. But like, we got you that gift card for the very nice restaurant.
Yeah.
It only ensures that you're going to do it up right when you have that gift card, correct, and you're going to spend a fortune.
Did I just hand him a bill?
We handed you a bill. If we would have gotten you a gift card for Jimmy John's for $50, that's exponentially more valuable.
I will say, I can't remember what you guys got me the first year I was on the show, but that was probably the third year I was on the show, and you knew by then, like, that's what me and my wife do. We go eat at those type of places, right? And that's how I spend my free money that's not spent at wrestling tournaments and things like that. But you can't, it's got to be the right thing. Like, I have definitely gotten, I'll just say this, my baseball team that I coached a couple years ago, not the one I'm currently coaching, but the one I got a couple years ago, gave me I think it's $35 to a West Side Steakhouse that everyone knows on the West Side.
Really?
And that doesn't even get you. That's what it was. We have not spent it. I've had that thing for 4 or 5 years. And even my wife brought it up. Hey, why don't we ever go here? And out of principle, I will never go there now because I'm not going there and not spending that thing. Also, I'm not going there and spending that thing. So.
Jesus.
I think that's something to think about.
What does
Christmas
that cover?
Time, holiday time.
Yeah.
Does
that cover a couple of drinks when you go there? It is that what they're meant to do?
A drink and a half.
But really what that covers is for me to make a reservation, because I'm not going there without a reservation.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the reservation, and then I'm going to show up 40 minutes before the reservation and sit at the bar and use
booze,
that.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the ass because I've now bought two drinks or three drinks or whatever and used this gift card to cover that, and then what I throw a 10 on the bar to tip the bartender. Right. Like, but I almost would rather, me personally, would rather use a portion of it on a big bill. And they go, no, boy, you know I'm putting out of pocket on my own here too, guys. There is some sort of status-y type of thing. Like
that. I guess I haven't. Does going out with friends count? Like, we got Brett and Frank, who are originally the two set us up. Does that count as going out to dinner?
Super fancy with them?
We went to Springfield Grill. I felt the prices were fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were supposed to go to the Chop House in Warren, but we didn't. We ended up going to Springfield Grill, which, again, it's good, but the prices, it wasn't like it was extravagant. It's a nice enough place. What did we were going to say about Jed Wills today?
Rodney. Just Rodney. Rodney Jed came Wills on.
Does not block.
Rodney now came on, not. And he, in the most, I felt like, in the most endearing way possible, he stood up for Jed Wills as a teammate and as a man.
I felt bad.
And we're sitting here as fans and media who've been crushing Jed Wills. And I tried to, in the nicest way possible, explain how the city feels about Jed Wills. And I get it. Rodney's going to look at us and go, oh, you guys looking at us. Oh, yeah. You guys who have never put yourselves at this kind of risk being out here on a football field. You guys talk into a microphone all day. He said it in the nicest way possible. He looked at me, and I'm just like, yeah, this is the guy after Joe Thomas, and he's not Joe Thomas. So he never had a shot to begin with a lot of fans. I think the first year and a half, whatever.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think we were trying to figure out if he was maybe just average, slightly below average?
I could handle him being not Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
What I can't handle is it appears that he doesn't even care to try to be Joe Thomas. There's a difference between not being Joe Thomas and just going, well, I'll never be Joe Thomas, so what's the point of any of it? And that's what it feels like right now. When he says he's making business decisions, it feels like, to me, average fan, who's not even a Browns fan. I'm a Browns supporter.
Yeah.
But it feels like, to me, he is saying, I can't even do that, so why even try?
But Rodney did outline to us both off the break and during.
You're right. He's a great player advocate.
The extra show. He was. And he's like, if you can't compete, if you feel like not only physically you can't compete, but also mentally, which we have no ability to talk about injuries and what that
but
does.
You're talking to
we
a have fan no ability. Base. You're talking to a fan base who, when they are down, when they have a slight fever, when their throat is closed up and they're scratchy, and they still have to go to work because that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
And this is a totally different scenario.
Yeah, no one's going to feel bad.
That.
No one's ever going to feel
bad. I get that.
You're
but,
right.
Man, there's so many people that don't get that. And I don't blame them for not getting that because that's how they're spending their entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
That's how they're spending what money they took home this week from whatever job that they probably hate. So they're going to the Browns to escape that. And then a guy is just not even trying for it.
Can we understand? I think that what Owen says is true. Can we just understand that there's a, it's like, hey, this is, if I choose to get to know you, then I guess I'll get to know you. I don't need to sit there and sympathize with everything you're going through. Where's everybody? You know, where are the big talking heads on the major networks sympathizing with me? Where's without them trying to sound, without them being ridiculed and being made fun of? See, that's another thing. Like, there are people who do stick up for the fans, and then they just get ridiculed. You know, remember Dan Dockich when he was going after LeBron? And I was on LeBron's side because he played for the Cavs, and I said, I don't care. My team's got to win. I've never, you know, my team's got to have the best chance they can. Sit down. But all he's doing is speaking up for the fans that did pay money to go and see LeBron James. But I do remember that, and it's like every time you do that, you get ridiculed. But like for the fans, it's like, hey, can we just not understand that there are some players that you choose to care about more than the others, and that most of them are a vessel for your entertainment, for your enjoyment. They don't want to hear about your problems. They have enough of their problems. Because for a lot of those folks, you have enough money to make those problems go away. So just make the problem go away. Now, I believe knowing that you and knowing people that you know, money doesn't solve all those problems. My God. I mean, there's plenty of people in Cleveland who have money whose lives are in shambles at all given points of the day. But I think they go, yeah, but you know what? At least it's not a problem that they have to worry about.
You can fix our problems. We could fix our problems if we had your money.
Yes. Yeah. And so I don't think, you know, there's all this conversation. Like, I always get bothered by it where it's like, you know, you guys need to understand the players. Do they? Do they need to understand players? I don't advocate for people cussing each other out. Like, I don't advocate for, what was it? Was it Marcus Morris years ago? The guy, he went up in the stands by accident, and the guy, like, shoved him, like, the Oklahoma State. It wasn't Marcus Morris. Where was it? Marcus Smart. Added up in the stands.
Oklahoma State.
At Oklahoma State, yeah. And the guy shoved him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, I don't condone that. That's ridiculous. I don't condone that whatsoever. But, like, the whole, like, yeah, you know what? You want to boo him, boo him. If you want to, if you want to say this guy sucks on sports talk radio, you should be able to do it. It's part of the gig. Part of the gig. It's what you signed up for. If you don't want to handle it, then don't handle it. Go do something else for a living. I mean, it's that simple. People say we suck all the time. I deal with it and get paid a hell of a lot less than NFL players do.
You know, just after listening to Jed and then listening to Rodney today, I have a good sense of what I think happened. Putting it all together, I think Jed did not think he was ready to play. The doctors and the team said, you're ready to play. And then the team, especially the coaches, said, get out there. And I think he told them, I can't. I don't trust it. I don't feel good about it. This is going to mess with me. And they're like, well, you have a decision to make then, don't you?
There's somebody, obviously.
That's what sounded like.
In his life that is not associated with the crowds that's saying, hey, man, what's smart for you in your career going forward?
But I also.
Well, yeah, don't forget that. Don't forget that it's not just your family. It's your agent is in your ear telling you what to do. Well, and I can't act like I did not say that if I were the agent to Baker Mayfield. However many years ago, I would have been telling Baker, do not play.
The thing that we did not bring up today, because you brought up Baker a couple times today. Remember, he did not play that last game, and he didn't play because he said his team, which was not the Browns.
That's right.
It was his team that advised him to not play.
And so people turned on him.
Yeah.
That was some of the unraveling that started.
And that's when everything came out with the Deshaun and they're traveling there, a lot of people just told him, shut up, who cares, right? Because... I mean, the bridges were starting to be burnt then.
It's difficult. It is a very, very, very difficult thing. Because I can't compare. I can't compare it. I think there's been times where people have called off. I ain't gonna lie to you. Lima, you know this. There's been times where people have called off for things. Well, you're calling off for that here? Like, because I'm sitting there going, in my head, I'm going, this is not a hard... It can be a hard job, but it's not a hard physical demanding job. I've worked physically demanding jobs where you look up at the clock and it just never moves. It never moves. It's 10:49 a.m. forever, and it's never getting closer to 5 o'clock. And I've had those jobs, and it sucks. And so I think that a lot of fans, they look at it and go, you do what I wish I could do that I can't do, so I'm living vicariously through you. Deal with it. And I'm sorry, he's just going to have to deal with it. When it comes to Rodney, I like Rodney personally. I choose to care about Rodney. But there are plenty of players out there that I would not choose to care about personally because I don't think they'd choose to care about me. So I want them to excel in football, baseball, basketball in this city. But once it gets past that, I choose whether or not I like them personally and care about them personally. There can be a general thought of, I don't want anybody to get hurt out there because I don't want anybody to get hurt out there. And I don't wish them poor. I don't wish any of that. But there's also like, hey, if I got to sit here and be talked down to and be so understanding about you and your plight, then damn it, how about you squirrel away some time and listen to the effing problems that I got?
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.